Winchester will snap. Will Carolina call timeout? Placement is down. Schrader's kick is up. Schrader's kick is good! 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 Spencer Schrader!
I don't know, a little excited there for a team that doesn't celebrate regular season victories.
Yeah, what's that guy so happy about? Against Carolina.
Spencer Schrader, the Chiefs win.
I did notice, I was looking for that too, like Mahomes or Kelce, somebody to like go nuts on the sidelines after they won.
They really didn't.
They didn't.
It's unfortunate.
Kelce shook Andy Reid's hand, I believe, after the game.
Yeah, Mahomes looked like someone had just told him he's got to go to jury duty. He was not excited.
Yeah.
He walked off the field a little, meh.
He got sacked a bunch.
Did you watch the game? By the way, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Bills had the bye week. It was perfect. Nothing. I mean, I guess not quite perfect. The Chiefs could have lost. Did you watch that game through the lens of the thing we learned last week, which is he takes sacks now?
I was looking for that, and he was under pressure a lot, and I think he took five. He took five in the game.
Five sacks to Carolina?
Yeah, five for 43. Took 43 lost yards, but five sacks.
He also ran a little bit. He had a couple successful downfield runs.
He did,
and a couple that he got tackled after like a 2 or 3 yard gain, which aren't sacks. But again, like his off-script, crazy, improvisational stuff, it's just not the same as it is when he's at his peak.
Right. He got that the run, the most important run was the one at the end. He got a 33-yard run to put them in field goal range at the end where he stayed in bounds, and I think the Panthers thought he was going to go out of bounds, and he didn't. So, yeah, he ran for a couple first downs also, but, man, he gets pressured. They signed a lineman, too, so, like, they're admitting to it. They know, right? Like, the lineman's like a veteran guy that they're bringing out of retirement, which we'll see. That doesn't have to help them, but, yeah, they – in Carolina, I was trying to even – figure out who their pass rushers were. Like, they have Clowney, I think. But I couldn't tell you. They might be good players. I could not tell you any of the other guys that were rushing the passer. And he's still got to play T.J. Watt. He's got to play some elite guys coming up.
Miles Garrett
is on their schedule.
Denver's got a great defense. Going to play them. Yeah.
Yeah.
803-0550. If you want to tell us something you took away from the games you watched yesterday, or, of course, the Sabres, who were on the West Coast, and nice to get an early game in that that finale of the road trip, not 10:30 at night.
Yeah.
Joe Thornton's jersey retirement in that game. The Sabres spoil that party, which is pretty nice.
Yeah. To update, just to clarify, I had that stat earlier in the first hour about Tua. So Tua winning yesterday against the Patriots, he is 1-8 against the Bills in the regular season, and he is 12-0 against the Patriots and Jets.
Wow.
I want to believe there's never been a quarterback ever that has had that much success against two division opponents and then been just incapable of beating the other one.
No. That's nuts.
12-0 against the Patriots and Jets.
Boy, the Patriots did not look good yesterday. The Jets. No. So before we get to this Twitter poll I put up, there's a report from Diana Rossini the Jets might cut Aaron Rodgers
after the year, and then they might put him on IR for the rest of this year because. But he's, I guess, yeah. It was weird details that like Rodgers is reluctant to get an MRI. Because maybe he knows the Jets are, or I don't even know. Like, what does he think? The Jets are looking for something to put him on IR, and they maybe can't right now because he's not, I don't think, technically injured. He's probably just sore because he's old. But yeah, the story was they want to put him on IR for the rest of the year and then cut him after the season, which, by the way, I think cutting him is like a massive money that they would be on the hook for next year. So is any of that believable? Like, it's just, it all seems weird.
I mean, it depends who gets the GM job there and how they want to move on. It is, to me, it's wild. Like, there was already speculation about who would want Rodgers next. And, man.
Part of it, too. Part of it was her story was that Rodgers wants to keep playing, but he does not want to keep playing for the Jets.
Yeah. You got to be down bad to want Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you've got to be down so bad. And the Jets were. Like, that's kind of how this marriage came about, right? The Jets were down bad. And who could be in that spot next year?
Nobody
has the longest drought in the sport. That's how down the Jets are that they do this desperately. And I still think that it had merit as a reasonable idea to do it. But boy, who would be next?
The only team, and I saw people making this joke, the only team that makes even an iota of sense might be him actually copying the Brett Favre route and going to Minnesota. because Minnesota is not going to be able to retain Darnold because Darnold's not going to want to stay there when they have a first-round rookie behind him. And Rodgers, meanwhile, could be like the bridge guy in Minnesota next year. But is Rodgers the person? All of this is you know, banking on Rodgers being the type of personality that is willing to start at the season and know that, hey, at some point they're going to want to switch to J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm a Vikings fan, there's nothing I hate more than the idea of Rodgers is going to come in here and be the tutor for J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, no, I agree. if I were in Minnesota, I would want no part of that. But I saw that team being thrown around. Hmm. But what would you want out of him? What, you would want him to start a year? Are you getting more than 1 year? What is he going to be, 42 next season?
Wouldn't it make more sense to just, I mean, I'm going to say this phrase, so go with it here, franchise tag Sam Darnold?
If you're Minnesota?
Yeah, just do that instead.
That actually is exactly what they should do.
You've got room for that. It'll be expensive, but you don't turn things over to Aaron Rodgers.
Right. That is a way better idea, I would say. How expensive is the franchise tag? Are they going to give him like $40 million probably?
I mean, it might be more by now. The franchise tag for quarterbacks has got to be like $50. I mean, like,
in 2024, it was $38.3.
Okay.
So it'll be in the 40s next year?
Yeah.
I would do that.
Better idea.
I didn't even thought about that. That is a way better solution than anything else, and especially Rodgers. I agree with
also,
that.
Also, I guess Russell Wilson could be a name out there for a lot of these teams unless Pittsburgh re-signs him, which I think they might want to do.
Yeah, well, there's no – if Darnold doesn't cut loose, then there's nothing available in free agency coming up at all. It's all these teams going to be vying for quarterbacks in a class that might not even be that good in the first place is what all these teams at the bottom are going to start doing.
So the Bills can clinch the division this week.
Yep. Yeah, they can't. They can't clinch before the game because Miami won.
That's right.
But they can win with a win against the Niners.
Beat the Niners, clinch the division.
Which
not bad.
Easily be the earliest, right? That they've done that in the last 5 years.
Yeah, probably.
They've been. That's what's amazing about this season. They've been challenged every year. They've won five in a row, or would this be five in a row? This would be six in a row, wouldn't it?
This would be five.
They've been challenged almost every year right to the end. Like, you can, and I've done this too, like, kind of, you know, not taking lightly the team that's been pushing them. Like, okay, New England, sure, you won with three pass attempts, but come on, we know who the better team here is, really. And then that ended up being true. And then for the Dolphins, I was always like this, like, Miami, but what happens every time you play the Bills? Like, come on. And they've been right there to the very end, but they screwed it up. They lost last year, was they lost to the Titans, a game they should have never lost, but they did, and they allowed themselves a game where you have to beat the Bills to win it, and they can't do that. So they've been pushed right to the very end, and they're just, when was it? Week four? That we kind of realize, like, okay, the Bills are just going to have no challenge this year. Like, the whole year has been, oh, there's going to be no threat here whatsoever. As soon as they beat the Jets, I think that was probably the moment. Once they beat the Jets, it was, okay, nobody is going to be challenging them all year.
Yeah, pretty much. The Jets season ended that day. The Dolphins season ended in week two.
Yeah.
And the Patriots, you know, were never really off the mat. 803-0550, our phone number. Would you pick the Bills to win the AFC right now? You picking them?
I think I would. I think I would.
Do you need to do the, well, if they stay healthy, injuries?
No.
I mean, that conversation
is
always there. That's their
That's for every team.
Going into the AFC Championship game.
I actually even, could I, are we allowed to say this at this point? The Bills are, or is it even true? Are the Bills legitimately more capable of overcoming injuries than other teams? Or at least a lot of other teams? Because
it depends on the injury. It depends on the player.
And the volume of injuries, too, of course.
Right? It always depends on the player.
No, that's right. But, man, is it more players for the Bills? Like, is it, because they get injuries, and so often they are just, oh, yeah, no, we're good. Right tackle's out against the Chiefs. Fine. Tight end's out against the Chiefs. Oh, we got another one. We're good. Again, some positions are different than others for them. I think middle linebacker, when that happened earlier in the year, that was a problem. But Taron Johnson misses time, and for some reason, despite how good he is, that's a player that they're capable of overcoming his loss. So even players that are great, though, I feel like they have done a pretty good job of filling in without him. Whereas there are some teams I feel like where just like, okay, 2-3 injuries and like they just can't do it.
Well, a lot of that is probably Josh Allen existing, in my opinion.
That's probably right.
It's also the team you're playing against. Like, you got by without Taron Johnson a couple games. I don't think you could do that against every team. I don't think you could do that against Detroit. Man, you need him too much on Amon-Ra St. Brown or whatever.
Yeah.
There's going to be the injury and then the caliber of opponent. But I guess what you're also getting at is that the launching off point for that is if every team in the league is healthy, are the Bills the best team in the AFC?
And I would say yes to that question. I think I would say yes to that.
Yep.
I think
it might be Baltimore or Buffalo. And Baltimore has had some bad that's the difference between the Bills and the Ravens. The Bills don't have a bad loss, in finger quotes, if I could say that. The Texans game they lost because they had a bunch of injuries at receiver especially.
Well, and it's a head-to-head, right? It's not only the Bills have a bad loss, it's to the Ravens that they have the bad loss.
It's one loss, but to a good Ravens team. The Ravens are good, and you lost that game. It got away from you. It got sideways. Like, okay, let's see how it goes the second time. The Ravens have lost to the Raiders, a loss to the Browns, who, you know, the Browns are middle. I think they're a little better than their record once they switch quarterback. But, you know, we're going to get to the playoffs, Joe. And we're going to be going into those games. Are they going to be favored in every game they play? Would they be favored in Arrowhead in the AFC Championship game?
Yes. Yes. I feel pretty confident they would be favored. Depending on the circumstance, if Kansas City starts, it flips a switch and they start blowing teams out all of a sudden. But if they kind of limp their way to the one seed, and then they win a one playoff game, and the Bills are maybe they would have to be favored, because if they're in the AFC Championship game, they've done a job. Like they've probably hung on to the one seed, or they've on the other hand beaten two teams in the playoffs. No, that wouldn't be right though. They would have to have the one seed because if the Bills and the Chiefs meet, they would have had to won the one seed. So, all right, maybe it would be close. Maybe it'd be a pick 'em. I would pick them to beat the Chiefs, though, in Arrowhead. And I bet a lot of people would be picking them to beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead.
Well, a lot of people would, of course, know that they can, but this would be the million-dollar question. Can you finally do it? Because you never do in the playoffs.
Right.
So you'd want to pick them. You'd want to say they're a favorite. You want to say you'd feel good about it. But it would be, once again, confronting the dragon that you have to slay.
Right. But if we're just answering the question, though, of who's the best team, Kansas City does not look that impressive every time they play. And Baltimore, it's a tough one because if this were the college football committee, if you were on that committee, this is what they do every year, right? It's, okay, well, the Bills have a better record, but Baltimore beat them head-to-head. So what do you want to do there? And they didn't just beat them. They smoked them head-to-head. But if I start to break down the Ravens, it's okay, yeah, they have the best offense probably in the conference, but they probably are going to have the worst defense of teams that make the playoffs. And I care about offense more, but if you think the Bills' offense can hang with them, if you think it's that different from when they met earlier in the season, that the Bills' offense is closer to Baltimore's than it would have been at that point in time, and now I go to the defense in comparison, I feel like everybody would be more confident in the Bills' defense right now than the Ravens. I think the Ravens are, by DVOA, I think they're 18th in the NFL this year in defense, and that's I think they're like 28th in the last month. They're starting to play worse on that side of the ball in the last few games. So, which is weird, by the way, because their scores aren't actually that bad. Like their DVOA numbers are, but they only allowed 18 to Pittsburgh, they allowed 10 to Denver, I guess 29 to Cleveland's not great. But if I'm comparing those two teams head-to-head, I feel like I would give advantage Bills because I trust the Bills right now on two sides of the ball, and I feel like I only trust Baltimore on one.
Yeah, 803-0550. Their defense has been bad all year. It was one of the frustrating things about the Bills playing in Baltimore earlier this year was that that's a team you should be able to score points on. The fact that you only got 10, again, like it got away from them. The trick play really has been completely forgiven, right? For the most part.
Forgotten.
Forgiven? I think forgiven, but not forgotten. I remember it, but I'm not mad about it. It's the kind of thing where, you know, the Bills lose a game, and they haven't lost a game since, right? So, like, you don't hear people calling up saying Joe Brady's a fool. He called that play. I mean, they've won every game since. The offense looks like it's got lots of answers. to all the puzzles thrown their way.
Uh-huh.
I feel like it is a forgiven, not forgotten. Sorry about that, guys. Maybe I wouldn't call that again. I mean, he even said immediately after, it's like, yeah, probably not the right place to call that play.
Yeah.
So,
also remember the design of it was, like, ludicrous.
It was rough. I did see a play yesterday, though, with Mahomes lined up out at receiver. Like, that happened, too.
Okay. Did it work?
No, they didn't do anything. One. They didn't give the ball to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went the other way.
Yeah, they have not run a trick play since then, by the way.
No, that was really, their first one in a long time.
I was
going
to say, really, it's their only trick play still since Dable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Dorsey ever ran one, which is fine. Like, I don't know that I need them to do that going forward, but I'm trying to think of the – is Baltimore the one way to do it? What is the argument for not picking the Bills? The argument is what? It's either you think the Ravens are that dynamic on offense and Lamar's finally going to figure it out in the playoffs, or you just believe in – you believe in the idea that the Chiefs are just going to have their number. No matter what happens before it, just they're going to get to the playoffs and Kansas City's going to figure out a way to beat them.
Or – and I don't think there'd be too many lined up behind this horse, but – you think the Chargers are legit. I mean, if the Chargers were to beat Baltimore tonight,
yeah,
would that be their moment of, okay, this team is real?
They might be real, but is anybody picking them to win the AFC? Like, I mean, they're probably going on the road all three times.
If they have one, sure, but if they're one game behind the Bills, are they not capable of that? Yes, it was funny. Yesterday I'm watching, it's Packers and Niners, and it is the time of year where you get the narratives about, a lot of narratives about weather and how weather affects games.
Mm-hmm.
Brady's on that game, Niners and Packers, and talking about the Packers' physical style and how, you know, you got a team from California here up in Green Bay. It's just like, buddy, it's November. And
also, isn't he from San Francisco?
He's from California, right?
Isn't San Francisco freezing in November?
It's freezing a lot of the year, actually. In the summer, it's actually cold.
Yeah.
And like, dude, you played your whole life in New England.
Right,
and
yeah.
You're from California, and yet he couldn't resist throwing out the California team in Lambeau. So whatever. Oh, you will get that on Thursday, too, because the Dolphins are playing in Lambeau on Thursday for Thanksgiving. That's the night game. That's the game you're rooting for a loss for Miami, and then it opens the door for the Bills to clinch the division.
Yeah. I think...
But that's to the Chargers' point. Am I supposed to believe the Chargers can't win on the road somewhere? I mean, Jim Harbaugh built a team three times. Whatever. I'm just talking about, you're saying, why wouldn't you pick the Bills?
Yeah.
You're looking for anybody that could get in their way. And you don't have to pick the Chargers to win the Super Bowl. You just have to pick them to knock off the Bills in that 2-7 matchup or whatever in the divisional round. And we're sitting here saying, I can't believe they lost to the Chargers. I just wonder how real they are. I think they're pretty darn good. The difference between the Chargers and the Ravens right now is the Chargers' defense is really good.
Right. Well, that
their offense has woken up.
That gets to a point that you've been making a lot, which is that the conference is stronger this year 1-7 than it's been.
Yeah.
That especially Denver continues to look good. Like Denver, they played the Raiders yesterday, so like whatever. But okay, if Denver is a real good team, then they should look like they did against the Raiders. They looked like the better team that whole football game. And if you're good, you should look like that. So we'll see what they have coming up because they play, they play the Chargers in 2 weeks. There's a Thursday night game that just got flexed, I think. Chargers Broncos is week 16. So they'll play a couple. They'll play the Chiefs again. But if Denver's real, there isn't a pushover. And if Miami were to get in, you know, they're not a pushover, but they might be to the Bills because the Bills just beat them every time. So if that's part of the argument is every team is good, like I still gotta find who's the team most likely to get through that schedule. Maybe the one seed is even more important this year because for the Bills, I mean, think about it, they've been the two back to back years, and who have they had to play? They've had to play Mason Rudolph and Skylar Thompson. The Skylar Thompson part was a little bit of luck, injury luck, but they've been the two seed, and it's almost kind of felt like a one seed in terms of the bye because you just haven't had to play a real playoff team, it feels like. Versus this year, whoever the two is, like you're going to have a real threat on your hands. You're going to have a real game that you have to worry about. So maybe that makes the one seed this year more valuable than it's been in a couple of years. So, you know, if the Bills can figure out a way to get that, then I've got no argument to pick another team. If they've only got to beat two of those good teams versus if Kansas City has to play three of them, then I'm going to like the Bills' chances.
803-0550 to join us. 1-888-550-2550. Should be a good one tonight. Ravens and Chargers, the Harbaugh Bowl, of course. Hope you're ready for lots of will the parents be in the stands? And
sure, Jack Harbaugh is going to be everywhere on this broadcast.
Yes, stories of when they were kids and this and that. There actually are some pretty good stories. Those
have
two they were kids.
They haven't met since the Super Bowl, right?
Right, which still is kind of one of the craziest things when you really think about it. The two brothers coached against each other in the Super Bowl.
That's
absolutely bonkers that happened.
Yeah, there will be a Manning cast tonight, by the way.
All right.
If Jack Harbaugh wasn't in the stands, he probably would have been a Manning cast.
I hope you're ready for lots of brotherly rivalry chatter then, because you know those two with the Harbaughs. I bet Belichick's got some good stuff to say about the Harbaughs. You know, they're both good coaches.
The more I've watched Manning cast, have you been watching it every week that it's on?
Yes.
I feel like they need Belichick bad now because I don't know the humor. Is anyone else getting tired of the it's the same joke every week. It's just, hey, we were really slow. Ha, ha, ha. Like, it's the same joke every week. They're making fun of each other for being unathletic. I don't know. I'm not quite losing steam on the Manning cast. I'm just like the fun. I like the learning part of it, and Peyton still will break down certain plays and concepts every week that I love. But I'm not laughing at it as much as I once was.
Sure, I'm not really there for the jokes. They come sometimes. Mainly the reason I watch it is when a team or a coach decides to let the clock run down and Peyton just says, timeout.
Well, that's the funniest part of it.
That's my favorite part of every game.
That's right.
We got to get a timeout. What are you doing here? Timeout.
Yep.
You know, just watching Peyton Manning watch a game he doesn't care about the outcome and watching it the same way that any one of us would, screaming at the television, like, that's the value for me.
Yeah.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Happy Monday morning. By the way, I don't know about you, did you have to scrape ice today?
I did not have to scrape ice tonight.
I didn't have to scrape ice either. There was none in the windshield, but there are ice puddles. Can I go with that? It's not a puddle if it's ice, right?
It was a puddle, and then it's ice on the ground.
Yeah, frozen puddle. Hey, there's some water in a planter in the backyard, and now that is frozen ice.
I have not been met with that, but I should maybe pay attention. I mean, later it's not supposed to be much warmer even than it is now, I don't think.
No, high of 50 today. Highs soon dipping down into the 30s. Like, by the end of the week. And Sunday's forecast. By the way, Sunday's going to be cold.
Especially with it being a night game. I think I saw the low might get down. Oh, I got to check again.
23?
I was going to say, it was in the 20s, I know.
Yeah. So Sunday's going to be cold, which, hey, whatever. 20's not that cold.
Fine with that. As long as it's not raining or snowing.
Yeah. Yeah, we can handle that. 803-0550 if you want to get a thought in on what you saw from the bye week, what you saw from the Sabres, 3-game win streak. We'll check in with Paul in a little bit on that. Nice to see them in a playoff position. And, you know, what happens from here? Are they going to be buyers? There have been plenty of reports out there. They've been kicking the tires on a couple potential buys. So we'll see. But they're in good shape and home against Minnesota Wednesday. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a call if you'd like. 803-0550 on WGR.
Line drive to Turpin, and it bounces through his legs. Here he comes. Kevontae Turpin spinning free. Here he goes. Fastest man in the NFL. Kevontae Turpin takes it all the way. Touchdown, Dallas.
Cowboys and Commanders was a crazy game. A couple of missed extra points. If you're Washington and you lose a game on missed extra points and late kick returns for touchdowns that kind of take it away from you, you might say, like, you know what, we got a Hail Mary early in the season, so it is what it is. That's like me, Joe. If I'm playing golf and I hit like a 60-foot putt, when I miss the next 5-footer on the next hole, I'm like, well, you know what, I probably didn't deserve the 60-footer, so it's fine.
What if you're doing all that, though, on the easiest golf course in the area.
Because it's the Cowboys?
Because the Cowboys. Like,
yeah.
You can't lose to the Cowboys with Cooper Rush. They'd been getting smoked by everybody.
I know. It's pretty bad.
I mean, and the Commanders, too, they end up getting to 26. You know, they get that touchdown at the end. But this is the Kingsbury thing we opened with earlier. Their offense, which on every chart, graph, every number, were the best offense in football for the first 8 weeks of the season, like, they don't look nearly the same, and their defense isn't good enough. Like, I wonder what their odds would be right now as a bet to pick to miss the playoffs, because They're a Hail Mary away from 500 is another way you could kind of look at them.
And probably a Hail Mary away from, what, four straight losses?
Right. It would be four straight, I think, if they had done that. And Arizona's right there. Tampa, the Niners, if they get healthy, which probably won't happen. But I don't know. I was in on the hype on them. And after yesterday, getting beat by Cooper Rush in any circumstance is pretty tough.
Yeah, it's real tough. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Happy Monday. Chilly out there. And, the wintry turn may be upon us.
Yeah.
Bills and Niners coming up Sunday. That one looks like it will be. It will be cold. No, we're looking at temperatures in the 20s, so plan accordingly, Make sure all the gear you've got works. Trial run.
Yeah.
We are at trial run season for stuff you'd wear to a game,
Yeah. Also know where the snow brush is.
Yep.
Have you started the snow blower?
No.
Make sure that's running, right?
I know.
We did that with ours.
I thought I saw a couple things over the weekend, like some models predict the potential lake effect snow for this weekend and for maybe Sunday. The NFL, I'm sure, would love to get Sunday night football with snow. Like, absolutely.
We wouldn't want that, right?
Sure. Why not?
I mean, snow, just snow? Just snow? Not snow and wind or anything?
Just whatever. Like, I mean, it's lake effect snow.
Well,
it's
one of those games where I feel like the Niners are down pretty bad, and I don't want crazy elements playing any kind of equalizer, which if it's just snow, I'm good with that.
It's
usually more the wind on that front. But
that's right. They'll be fine. Has anybody, the Bills dome/outdoors debate, is any of the hardcore dome fan, I wish they build a dome. You are able to watch the Browns and Steelers and not get a little romantic about it? If it snows, not a little romantic about how it looks great, not rooting for snow in Green Bay.
Right.
I used to be the always dome, let's do a dome, and I am firmly no longer there and will never be there again. Maybe it's because of the memories of the perfect game against New England was unbelievably cold, and that is a part of the memory. Part of the memory is, Fitz shirtless in the stands.
Under that red light.
These things that would happen. The Browns-Steelers game from Thursday Night Football, did I stay up and watch more of it because it was snowing a little bit? Very possibly. Right? Maybe.
Yeah.
This time of year, football feels right when there's some snow on the ground. And I know that you get the occasional game that is stupid. I've been to some of those games. You all have been to some of those games where it feels like you can't say anybody could do anything. George Pickens said the Browns only won because of the snow. He might be right. But I think the trade-off is worth it. I think the games in the snow, the games in the elements are fun. And fun as an observer as well. Fun as someone that's going to attend these games. And the new stadium is going to be easier for all of us to deal with the snow, and the players will deal with it the same way.
That's really where it's ideal.
And it would also be less windy. The whole concept of what the Bills are going to build, or what they are building, I should say, is that you'll still get the romantic snow games, and you probably won't get horrific weather. If you get an event that buries everybody, then you postpone the game because you can't get to it.
Well, I was going to say, often that... those two points, we'll see if that happens again this year. You hope not. Every year that there is a game where the Bills have to cancel or postpone or potentially move a game, it's met with, you should have a dome. Outdoor stadium, this is what's going to happen. When every time that happens, it literally doesn't matter what the stadium is.
Right, people
because
can
it's
get
about
there anyway.
Whether people can get there or not. So... yeah, I'm. It's kind of over at this point too, isn't it? Because the fact the stadium is going up, not over to like whether they do it, but the conversation is over.
Absolutely,
hearing about it, having it brought up is. I mean, you're always going to have that a little bit, but I'm not hearing it nearly as often.
You've got a couple teams that are deciding what to do right now. Like the Bears are in conversations about what their next stadium will be.
Yep.
The
Kansas City's going to do this.
Kansas City, and I don't want a dome on any of those stadiums.
And I don't know that I've... The only one...
The Bears are thinking about it because...
Okay. Is Cleveland maybe is thinking about it, but same thing. Like, it's like, one of the options, which maybe that's going to happen no matter what.
Maybe. It's always the same thing. And it to me, it always bore less fruit potentially than like a dome in Chicago, yes, could probably be busy 365 days a year like SoFi is, if it is even that. But I don't know. Like I'm vibing the weather right now. I know it's going to get colder out. We also talked about this briefly on Friday, if you missed our conversation following the Steelers and Ravens, or Steelers and Browns. Don't you think this Bills team, if you buy that stuff, if you buy about like playing in the elements and winning like that, don't you think this Bills team is better equipped than previous Bills teams?
I think that's probably right.
If you if you're into that, like I didn't think the previous Bills teams were ill-suited to play in the elements. The perfect game was really cold, and they dominated. They've won games in the snow. You know, Allen has played great in most conditions. He plays great in the rain. But if you are someone that thinks about needing to run the ball and be committed and diversity of the attack, then I feel like you should feel good about it this year compared to other years.
Yeah, I looking at their lines right now, I tend to think that's the biggest difference, too, to me. If you even want to believe in that, that they probably have the best offensive line that they've had. So if there had to be a game where they have to get physical and, like, you know, the conditions are so bad that we've got to run the ball more than we planned on going into it, that this team is better suited for that. But how the other thing, too, about that is those games are pretty rare, I think. The games where the conditions are so bad that it eliminates your ability to throw the football, you'll get them, but it's like once every 5 years, if that. Most of those weather games, you're still able to throw it. You're still able to do that. If there's some snow, you're fine. If there's a little wind, you're fine. You almost need 25 to 35 mile per hour wind gusts, I feel like, before you can even start thinking about, like, oh, I just can't throw the ball today.
For sure. And the most recent snow game we saw, Thursday Night Football, the Browns and the Steelers, because I'm glad you brought that up. I have a tweet here from Greg. Is it too soon to talk about the weather for Sunday, calling for potential snow? Is this a team we can beat if we can't pass effectively? Makes me nervous. I mean, just moderate snow is not a reason to think you can't pass the ball.
Right.
Russell Wilson,
right,
in the snow, 21 of 28 for 270. He averaged 9.6 per pass.
And the touchdown pass he had, his most impressive throw of the night was when it was like at its thickest. Like,
yep,
you could hardly even see the play on the TV.
Jameis Winston.
It. Yeah.
18 for 27, 219, 8.1 yards per pass.
Yeah.
Like, they both played fine. In fact, what neither team really did all that well is run it. Nick Chubb, 3 yards per carry. Jalen Warren, 4 yards per carry. Like, these guys did not have big plays in the running game, and both teams were able to throw it when they passed it. I feel like the Browns woke up and realized they can pass the ball. That was a big part of how they won. So,
well,
I don't know. I don't see anybody predicting any sort of snow event.
Yeah, no.
Then again, lake effect can dial up pretty quickly. That's usually how it goes.
Well, looking at the AFC right now, would you get this any year that you're going to have like three teams at the top that all could have weather games once we get to the playoffs?
Baltimore, Buffalo, Pittsburgh,
Kansas City a little bit. Like, usually with cold for Kansas City, not like snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Denver's probably not going to host anybody as we get through this. But
that's right.
Yeah, the top three are now. Kansas City had a freezing cold game last year. The Bills have had their weather games. And Pittsburgh's usually the one. I'll take that one. If I can have one big weather game when we get to playoff time, right now it would be Pittsburgh-Baltimore in the first round. I could go for that game being like a crazy weather event.
Yeah. 803-0550, our number, 1-888-550-2550. Happy Monday. It's chilly out there. Start the car early if you can. Make sure it's warmed up. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. Enter now, WGR550.com, for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. The contest ends on January 5th. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today.
Finished that off with a kind of a whirling derby leap there in the end zone. And then I guess it was the DeVito celebration. Is that
tribute. Tribute to Tommy, yeah. He's a good dude. He's got swag.
Who came up with that?
Oh, I have no idea. I just see him do it.
No, but whose idea was it for you to do that? And when did you know you were going to do it?
Most of the times I don't know what I'm going to do. So there's spontaneous stuff.
That was just spontaneous? That was not planned? I mean, even your teammates got into it too.
Yeah, New York fans love Tommy here and give him something they like.
Are you Italian by any chance or no?
I haven't done a 23andMe, but I don't know.
Man. Baker is the best. He is the best. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. I love Baker Mayfield.
I really am glad that he has made it in the league a little bit. Just enough to be playing, at least.
I haven't done a 23andMe is an unbelievable answer.
Yeah.
But who came up with that? I don't know. I just did it. Like, you know, and
he's like,
else,
what are you asking me about this? Four follow-up questions.
It's
about
kind of funny.
Italian fingers.
You know, like, hey, we score a touchdown. We don't need choreography. One guy does a thing. Everybody else just does it also.
Yeah.
You know, like they did the Tommy Cutlets. Oh, man. Baker is the best. And
there was another clip of him running. Did you see him running in front of his running back, like 50 yards down the field also? Baker's just running 60 yards forward.
He is one of those guys that when he – there's a little bit of I don't know. I want to say like Philip Rivers energy to him. Where,
ooh, yeah, you know, okay. Yeah, like, a little bit.
Like he's just such a passionate player. Rivers was like this in a different way.
Yeah.
Where he was very clean and very, you know, he didn't even talk trash. He didn't swear or anything. But,
Rivers? Rivers?
Yeah.
Ooh, there's some clips, though. Maybe he didn't swear, but there are clips of him trash talking.
Oh, for sure. But he says, like, dad gummit and stuff like that.
Yeah. There's Rivers the clip of him screaming in Yannick Ngakoue's ear 98 yards.
Yes, I know. Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's hard. I mean, it's not quite harmless. But when Rivers always did, it was kind of like a dorky version.
Yeah.
Baker's a good villain for that kind of stuff,
like doing
the Tommy Cutlet celebration there. And he's totally the kind of guy that if he throws a 98-yard touchdown pass, he's running full speed and, like, whipping his arms the whole way down the field. I love Baker. I love Baker since the moment he planted the Oklahoma flag at midfield at Ohio State. It was one of the greatest moments in college football.
Oh, yeah.
Just amazing.
In college, I mean, he was this times 100.
Yes, yes.
When Kansas wouldn't shake his hand at the coin toss, and he's just standing there clapping like, yes, let's go. Like, he was so happy
it's
that
amazing.
They were disrespecting him.
Yes, more people like this. Meanwhile, be on the lookout for coach firing today. I've seen a little bit of stuff in New York, of course, and the woman that covers the Giants for Sports Illustrated and does the Lockdown Giants says she believes that Brian Daboll has lost the locker room and they have no choice but to fire the coach. They play Thursday. You're going to give an interim coach on like 3 days?
Well, if they don't care about winning the rest of the season and they just want to finish last, they might not care about that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They might say, we're going to just put who's the coordinator. Do they still have Wink Martindale? No, he's somewhere else, isn't he?
No, he and Daboll parted ways. They did not get along.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Ice, that's right.
It was icy, that relationship.
Yeah, so they just say, whoever, hey, Mike Kafka, maybe, he's their coordinator. Mike Kafka, you're going to coach on Thursday.
Yeah,
they not even care if they're going to get beat by 50.
We should talk about Daniel Jones as an idea for backup for the Bills, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we?
I mean, I guess we should. I've got an opinion on it, though. I've got a strong opinion on it.
Well, Paul's coming up next. Paul Hamilton, he'll help recap the trip out west. If you slept through Sabres games, you know, no one could blame you. They were pretty late. Saturday's was 8 o'clock, though. But they won all three. And they're in a playoff spot. Not even a wild card spot. Honest to goodness, division spot. So we'll talk about it with Paul. Paul's coming up on the other side. You can give us a call if you want to comment, question on the Sabres. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe on WGR.